This week I heard a statement made in a conversation about glimpses of Jesus in a world unschooled in Christianity. Glimpses of Jesus in a world unschooled in Christianity. As Ralph has presented already a little bit earlier, that India is a country that is unschooled in the ways of Christianity. And in fact, the percentage of religious difference is heightened by the fact that 85% or thereabouts of the people who live in India are Hindus. Some uninformed person said to me the other day that India is being taken over by the Muslims. State by state, they're taking it over. Well, when I look at the facts and I look at the figures, I don't see that as being very true, and it's an uninformed statement that needs to have a little bit more understanding. Hinduism is 85% of the country of India. And so when it comes to the other religions, as Ralph said, there's quite a number of different religions. The Muslims probably rank around about 7% of the country, and Christianity is around about 4% of the country. The Sikhs and the Jains and other religions are even lesser than that. And so one of the goals that Ralph and I wanted to bring to the congregation today was an opportunity for us to see how isolated and insular and ignorant we have become as Australians in our Western culture, and how much we possibly can learn from our neighbours who are in another part of our slowly shrinking global world. It was Mahatma Gandhi who made the comment, "I consider Western Christianity in its practical workings a negation of Christ's Christianity." Mahatma Gandhi said, "I consider Western Christianity in its practical working a negation of Christ's Christianity." Does that make any sense to you? No? Okay, thank you for your nods and shakes. That's good. Mahatma Gandhi went and studied in England, Oxford University, and learned the ways of the West. Having come from his British heritage of India and over to England to study as a lawyer and in that area. And he saw a Christian country in England. He had grown up in a Christian country, supposedly in India. And he then started to read the scriptures, the Bible, which wasn't part of his origins or country's history from thousands of years earlier. But when he read the Bible and he read about Jesus Christ and who Jesus was, it didn't marry off very appropriately with his understanding of this country in which he was living and learning. So he didn't take a soft shine to Christianity as it was presented by the West, but he certainly took a shine to Jesus Christ of the Gospels. And I'm wondering whether we here today in Australia are in a context not too dissimilar. Again, now that we find our era, our schools, our young people growing up in an environment that is unschooled in Christianity. And so part of my mission, I think, as a Christian minister in a fairly secular and materialistic society, is to find out what it is for us to truly be Christ again in the world that is unschooled in Christianity. And I'm seeing that it's not a smash over the head approach with a Bible on a street corner, but we need to have glimpses of Jesus as we walk our way and live our way through life. I'm also finding that it's not just me, the Christian, who's giving to the other, but as I look and as I listen and as I learn, I see Christ in the other. And I hope that in the songs that we've sung this morning, we've started to be challenged again about those themes, about not us being the superior and the bigoted and the prejudiced and the racist, but us learning from Christ in the other. Liz mentioned the man whom we went and saw this week at Emmanuel College, Rick Watts. He's an Australian man who lives in Canada and teaches at Regent University. I think it's great that there's some Aussies that are finding scope and development overseas. And he told us in his talk that he goes every year to China. Now, China is the most populous nation in the world, and we won't go down that track if we're looking at China and India, a huge, vast empire. But it's been a communist country for quite a long time now, and so Christianity doesn't have very much percentage-wise of a sway in China at all. And Rick was saying how, as he goes each year to the universities in Beijing, and as a Christian, and teaches about Christianity, there is an incredible hunger to understand what Christianity is about from a Chinese perspective. Because again, they've viewed us with their telescope across the seas, and they've seen materialism, they've seen sexism, they've seen the Western way of living as Christianity. And as you and I both know, it's a far cry from the kind of life that Jesus wants to bring. John chapter 10 verse 10 says, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." This beautiful story of Naaman in the Old Testament is a pre-Jesus story. But the little servant girl, the child who comes into their midst and tells about this prophet in Israel or Samaria who will bring some kind of healing and new life to Naaman. Dare that child speak up? Should we? In my footnotes, I made a reference this week. Richard Rohr talked about us having the mind of a child. Now, Paul speaks about being a child too and putting aside childish things. Sometimes I think we've taken on Paul's statement in a negative light. Paul's not saying that we shouldn't think as children do in a loving, caring, accepting way about our Heavenly Father. Putting aside the childish ways of stupidity and ignorance and not understanding, the childish ways of turning our back on our loving parents. As children who are children of God, as I said in that beautiful picture of that woman pouring the water over her head, in that innocent way of accepting the cleansing and the renewal of God, I thought I'd show you some pictures of some water things, because water is such an important part of the Indian culture. And water, I guess, has been, for us in Australia, a significant part of our lives. So maybe there's a common thread there in the image of water. We say in one of our poems, Australia is a land of red dust and something plains. What is it? I love a sunburned country, a land of...
sunburned.
Plains, far horizons and something else. But boy, oh boy, are we copping the water at certain times in great volumes. Susan, could you... flooding rains, that's right. Susan, could you put a... there you go. So there's me, not in India, but in Malaysia, but I've got my feet in a water pond. Now that water pond, if you show us the next photograph, is full of fish. Tiny little fish that are sucking the dead skin off my heels. It tickles like crazy, and the goosebumps I had was just enormous as I sat there with my feet in this thing. I paid 5 Malaysian rupiah for it, which is only $1.50, so I thought it was money well spent. While these fish nibbled away at my, you know, dirty toes and my heels and gave me, what do you girls call it, a pedicure or something. Yes, well, this was a footy cure. And so there's all these thousands of fish. On my way back from India, I went back to the same place and bought some souvenirs for my family, and I saw this same fellow doing his job with the next bunch of tourists, and I saw him there with a couple of band-aids putting them on a fellow's foot. And I thought, oh my goodness, they do bite. And so my children, when I told them of this experience, they said, "You don't know whose foot they've sucked before." I could have picked up anything, I suppose, but there in the water was this voluminous number of fish doing their job. And it's in the waters and in the oceans that... next photo, please. It's in the waters now. I don't know if you can see this, but I'm in a train at the moment going from Delhi down to Vijayawada to meet Anita's parents and spend some money in the jewellery store on my sister for a gold nose ring and a lovely shirt that every time I wear this, I'll remember Anita and her parents and her father, who's a middle-class man, but he's got a real strong attitude. So when it came to the purchase price of this shirt, he tried to get it down for as low as possible. I was already getting it 50% off because it was a sale and the shop had only been open for 4 days. A New Year sale. Lifestyle was the name of the store, and as Ralph said, it was just the same as Myers, but it was full of people. But as we were going on the train, I took as many photographs as I could out the train window, and here's one of the rivers of India as we go over on the train, and the mountains in the distance, and in the water you can see the reflection of just, you know, what's going on there. Next one, please, Susan. Water is such a reliant resource in India. These are rice fields, and all the way down on our train trip from Delhi to Vijayawada, and then from our train trip from Vijayawada back up to Kolkata on the opposite side of India, we saw water, 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 where villages and families were cultivating and growing food for this 1-point-something billion people and any excess to be exported. I don't think there's much export really, but nevertheless this farming, I was going to say primitive farming, because I saw oxen, and they're still digging up the paddocks with their oxen. I did see some tractors, may I say, doing some mechanical work, and I saw some fellows with these backhoe type things that were diesel run pushing, but primarily it was people doing the work still, the back-breaking work of farming and walking through these muddy paddocks as they continued to try and supply food for their people. So the water, as you know, they somehow get it into a higher paddock, and then they plug it up, and then they unplug it, and the water goes down to the next one, and they plug it up, and it just keeps going down, down, down until it goes back into the water source. So the next one, please, Susan. In Kolkata, where we were staying, which was a very middle-class suburb, the street was called Dum Dum. I love that. It was beautiful. And we stayed in a three-bedroom apartment, which was just the same as most of the apartments here on the Gold Coast. And out the window of our apartment in Dum Dum, we looked out over this pond, this water pond. And in Kolkata, everywhere we went, in little communities, there were these ponds, which seemed to me to be awfully polluted. And this particular pond, a man and his family had a monopoly, by the looks of it, of the laundry in the neighbourhood. And so that area is water with hyacinth or some kind of weed or plant on top of it. Just to the right hand side where you can see the tree, there was a bunch of cattle which every day went into the water for a swim, and they got their water for the cattle there, and yet this man was washing all of the communities, washing the sheets in the same water. The next one, Susan, shows us how this man has set up his industry. You can see the green hyacinth, and there's plastic containers of different things floating in the water. But that shiny little part is a section of water where the bamboo has been constructed in such a way to allow him to have clean, non-hyacinth, non-plastic water. And he and his family stand in that pond. His wife or a lady there is crouching on a little pedestal that's been set up in the water, and he's in the water, and he's, you know, hitting things over the pedestal, but the person there is crouching on the pedestal, and they've got these clotheslines, tons of clotheslines in a spare paddock which they set up, and the people in our unit who use that unit just as a sanctuary, but they actually live in a slum in Kolkata. They come to the unit one day a week for their Sabbath, and the sheets on their beds and things for the unit get given to this man to be washed for a couple of rupees. And it was taking him 9 days to get around to do their washing. So he's got quite a business going there. So that water's used for lots of different purposes. The next one, Susan. Here in the streets of Delhi, Ralph and I went to this mosque where you saw the very first picture this morning where it says, take off your shoes. And just down in the street, we were engulfed by people. And I've put this particular picture on the front of your bulletin, and you can't kind of make it out. But in the picture, there's a dog here and a lady. And the next photograph is trying to blow that up a little bit. That lady is a beggar lady, and I don't know whether she had a deformity, but she certainly was stationary, and she was there on the street with this dog next to her, and she was begging, and most people were ignoring her. And this theme of glimpses of Jesus in a world unschooled in Christianity reminded me of this beggar lady, because a few moments after this photograph was taken, a huge coach, modern coach, drove down the street. So go back to the previous photo, Susan. See all those people there? There's a coach up there, a white thing, but another coach came down the street just moments after this photo, and all of those people had to get out of the way for the coach, because the coach took up almost the whole road. The dog was in the range of the coach, and the woman had a thong or something, and she was hitting this dog, trying to get the silly dog out of the way. It just wouldn't move, and the coach almost ran over the nozzle of the nose of the dog. Really, it was that close. The coach driver would have had no idea that there was a dog and a beggar at the wheels of his coach. So that was something that just took me by surprise. And as I thought today of this story in Mark's Gospel of the leper, as I thought of the story of Naaman, the foreigner with the skin disease, the people who are on the outside, this lady reminded me of one who was on the outside, the one who is on the edge of the hustle and bustle of life, one who's rejected. And a few moments after we took this photograph, I was an observer. I really just wanted to stand and absorb and see what was going on. A few moments after this photograph, the lady had gotten herself over here somewhere, and there was a man standing with his tiny little stall, as everybody's got a stall, and he was selling chai, which is their kind of tea. And I had a glimpse of Jesus as this tea man, this chai man, made a cup of tea, and I saw him pass it down below the table that he had, a tiny little table, and there at the base of the table was this same lady. She'd hobbled her way over to the edge where this chai man was, and he had made a cup of chai and given it to this lady. She didn't pay for it, I'm sure, but a glimpse of Jesus in the midst of this unschooled country in Christianity. As Jesus ministered to the man with leprosy in Mark, the man had heard about Jesus' miracles. He'd heard about Jesus' capacity. It's only Mark chapter 1, remember. We've only got 16 chapters. And here we are in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And Jesus is requested by this leper, if you are willing, would you heal me? No one would touch a leper in those days. For if they touched a leper, they were then ritually unclean. I told you last week that Jesus had demonstrated already that he was from God. He was fully human. He was fully God in Mark's Gospel. And yet here in the story we've heard today from Janice, Jesus reaches out and touches this leper. Jesus could have just said the word, be healed. But he didn't. He reached out and touched him. And so for us, as we try to glimpse Jesus in the midst of the world that we find ourselves in, Mahatma Gandhi struggled with finding Jesus in England. D.T. Niles, a Sri Lankan evangelist and hymn writer, died in Vellore in India. And one of the sayings that he's remembered for is this one. Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Last Sunday we shared communion as a family. We broke bread together. I hope that as we continue to develop our relationship with God and with each other and the neighbours we have from God, those who come to this country as visitors or guests or as refugees, they will find that we can break bread together with them. And as Anitha's parents put us up in the finest hotel in town, as we went to their home and shared meals with them, Ralph and I were extraordinarily embarrassed because we sat at that table. Anitha's mum, Anitha's dad and Anitha's sister stood at the table and served us as guests. And as hosts refused to sit and eat with us, we had to bend their arm to make them do that. A different culture. So we tried to coax them by saying, well, in Australia, when we have a barbecue, everybody sits around the table together and we talk for hours. Different cultures, different experiences, different glimpses of Jesus in a world unschooled in Christianity. As a congregation, we minister in the op shop into an unschooled in Christianity society. And you are probably one of the glimpses of Jesus that someone will see this week at playgroup, at your workplace, at your environment. That's another one to unpack. Wherever you are, may you be the Jesus, the God with skin on, that people glimpse this week as you reach out and touch the leper and minister healing into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.